See, we all go through trials and difficult times in this life, don't we? There are things in our lives. We as Christians, sometimes we go through things in life that they suck the life out of us. You know, sometimes like the joy of being a Christian, sometimes we don't even have that joy anymore. We wonder, like, what's wrong with me? At times you might feel stagnant. You might feel like, well, I'm a Christian, but I'm not growing. Like, I know I need to be somewhere, but I just don't know how to get to. And my life is just turning upside down. I mean, we all been through that. We all can spend time here testifying to times when life was hard, life was difficult. And at times you feel like, really, like, where's God? I've been praying to you, but, like, you're not even hearing me. You're not listening. And so teach me even how to pray better, because I need you right now, and you're not showing up. You feel at times, even though you're a Christian, that you're running on empty. You know, it's like, I mean, you go through the motion, you come to church, but it's like I think there's something more here. I want to go deeper, but I just don't know how to. And I feel like I'm empty. Like, you know, just like the joy is just being sucked out of me. And you know, I'm supposed to have this joy of the Lord. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice. But I just feel like I don't have time to rejoice right now. Or I feel like it's just because of the struggles that I'm going through, I don't feel any joy. And I'm mad. You see, if that's you, if that's any of us, the nation of Israel can relate to us. There was a time in their own history that they felt like that. They felt like God did not even care. Now, can you imagine that for a moment? God's chosen people feeling like, I mean, you're my father and you're not even listening. I mean, I got requests and you're not paying attention to me. The nation of Israel felt neglected by God. There was a time that God allowed bad things to happen. You know, sometimes we pray, but why does God allow bad things to happen to us, to Christians? You know, we pray, we sing, we worship, we give money to charity, and why would you allow bad things to happen to me? And we have no idea why. God allowed the nation of Israel to go through captivity, the time in their history known as the exile. And God told them, and the reason they went to exile is because they disobeyed God. And God told them, I mean, you obey me, you'll be okay. You'll be my people, and I'll be your God. But if you disobey me, the Babylonians are going to come and going to take you captives. And that captivity is going to last 70 years. 70 years? Captives? The enemy came and destroyed the city of Jerusalem and carried away the inhabitants to Babylon or Babylonia. One of those captives was a man named Ezekiel. He was a priest. Now, 5 years into the captivity, Ezekiel began to have visions. God showed Ezekiel something that God was about to do. And God wanted Ezekiel to go and take that message back to the nation of Israel. And the message that God had for Israel was, I'm not done with you yet. Yes, it's painful right now, but I'm not through with you. I'm not done. I'm not finished. Just wait a little longer. It was a message of hope, and I think you and I can relate to that. Sometimes we want God just to show up like that. Ezekiel began to have visions, and God was showing him. And yes, some of the visions were like bad dreams. Like Ezekiel's like, what in the world? What is the meaning of that? And God had a meaning through every vision that he gave the prophet Ezekiel. He was one of those captives. In Ezekiel 37, you get one of those visions entitled, The Valley of the Dry Bones. And if you have your Bibles or devices with you, go there, Ezekiel 37. We read it this morning already. It's a time in the history of Israel that they thought, we're hopeless. Our God abandoned us. There's no hope, no dreams to pursue, nothing, no future. It's over. Perhaps you felt like that before. If you have, then you need to hear what God has to say this morning. Ezekiel 37, he starts, it says, the hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. He asked me, Son of man, can these bones live? I say, Oh, sovereign Lord, you alone know. Then he said to me, Prophesy to these bones and say to them, Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put my breath in you and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the sovereign Lord says, come from the fourth wings of breath, and breathe into these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and breath entered them, and they came to life, and stood up on their feet, a vast army. And he said to me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say, our bones are dried up, our hope is gone, we are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says, O people, I'm going to open your graves and bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord. When I open your graves and bring you up from them, I will put my spirit in you and you will live, and I will settle you in your town, in your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken and I have done it, declares the Lord. So Ezekiel's been prophesying for a while, and then finally God shows him this vision of the valley of a dry bones. Now think about as a preacher, the word prophesying, he's preaching. He's preaching to a valley of dry bones, talking about an audience to preach to, a whole bunch of dead people. And it's like, well, God had a plan for him. He said, prophesy. Ezekiel said to us that the hand of the Lord was upon him, and he brought him by the Spirit of God and set him in the middle of a valley of dry bones. Whether he was in a trance or a vision, he saw something. It's almost like Isaiah 6 had another vision of heaven. So Ezekiel, he has a vision. He's in the middle of this. He looks around. He's the only alive person there. The whole thing is full of dry bones. And I have a little picture. Perhaps Israel can help me back there. The whole idea of the valley of dry bones, I think we already showed it. But the Lord had a question for Ezekiel. And I think that question, you and I need to pay attention to and take it home at the end of the sermon. When he said, son of man, can these bones live? God asked the prophet. And Ezekiel answered, I'm a little skeptical about his answer, because he said, oh, sovereign Lord, you alone know. Like, what, you don't know Ezekiel? God's asking you, and all you say, like, well, only you know, Lord. Can these bones live? What God is really saying, can I change the condition of those bones? Can I restore those bones, Ezekiel? And he said, oh, Lord, only you know. Sometimes God said, can I change your situation? And we answer like Ezekiel. And then God commanded the prophet to prophesy, to preach to a whole bunch of dry bones. And Ezekiel's description is that they were very dry. He says, he led me back and forth. I was walking among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor in the valley, bones that were very dry. He asked me, son of man, can these bones live? And I said, oh, sovereign Lord, only you know. Then he said to me, prophesy, preach to these bones. Like I said, wow, what an audience to preach to. Preach to these bones, and this is what you are to tell them. Prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. So whatever situation you are in today, if you feel like a dry bone, just hear the word of the Lord this morning, this afternoon. Hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. He said, I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you, and I will cover you with skin, and I will put breath in you, and you will come to life. And then after I do that, you're going to know who I am. You're going to know that this is the Lord. You're going to know that I am Yahweh, Jehovah. It's interesting. Everything that God does, he always wants people to get to know a better glimpse of who he is. Whatever you go through in life, it's almost like for God to get to show up, to show himself to you so that you have a better understanding of who he is. After I make you alive again, you're going to know who I am. You're going to have a better understanding of God, he says. What was God really saying to Ezekiel? God's saying, I will change your situation. Yes, you're on your dry bones right now. I'm going to change you. I'm going to make you into bodies. I'm going to revive you. I'm going to bring you to life. I will change your current situation. And that's what God's saying to you and I today, because perhaps you and I have been feeling that we go through a valley of dry bones, and my face just like a dry bones. I'm not going anywhere. I'm stagnant. And God say, I will change your situation, but you got to hear my word. This is what the sovereign Lord says. If I'm sovereign, if I'm in charge, I can change anything that I want, because there's nothing really impossible for me. But you have to believe my word. Tell the people, Ezekiel, this is what the sovereign Lord says. I will put breath into you. I will resurrect you. Now, Ezekiel did. He obeyed what God told him. He began preaching to those dry bones over there, just telling what the Lord said. And the moment he began to preach, things began to happen. I mean, you notice that he said there was a noise while I was prophesying, the word that while I was preaching. I mean, he wasn't done with the sermon, and then things began to happen. Because it was the power of God right there. So as I was prophesying, things began to happen. There was a noise, a rattling noise. And then he says, and the bones came together, bone to bone. Like the shoulder was attaching to the arm. I mean, all those things were happening. Ezekiel was seeing that in the vision. I mean, imagine if you had a dream like that. It's like, Lord, what is it you're trying to teach me? What is it you're trying to tell me? And then he says, tendons and flesh appear on them, and the skin cover them. But there was a problem. They didn't have any breath. They instead of bones, dry bones, now they're just dead bodies. But you see, there was already a change. Just through the little preaching that Ezekiel established, and something began to happen. Something began to change. It was gradual, but there was changing happening. And then the Lord commanded the prophet again to prophesy. So I prophesied, and it was a commanded. Verse 7, he talks about the rattling noise. And then verse 9, he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man. Say to it, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come from the four winds of breath and breathe into these slain that they may live. So I prophesied, so I obeyed the Lord. And and breath entered them, and they came to life, and they stood up, a vast army. People that have died there a long time ago, now they're being resurrected with the dry bones, and God showing Ezekiel that vision. Prophesy for the breath. The word breath is interesting in the Bible because it's the same word for spirit. Remember when God created mankind? That he says he created a man, and then he breathed into it the breath of God. In other words, the spirit of God, and mankind became a living being. You and I are distinct from animals and plants because we have the breath of God. We have God's spirit living in us. And that's how we can relate to God. We are spiritual people having our earthly experience. That's who we are. Prophesy, you see, they were just without the spirit. They're just dead corpse, dead bodies. Prophesy for the breath. And then he did. The breath came in. And they stood up a vast army. Now, what is the meaning of that vision? I mean, that's what happened. And now, in the next verse, 11 through 14, it tells you what was the meaning of that vision. What was happening in Israel? Why did God have to show Ezekiel a valley of dry bones and tell him to preach to those dry bones? And then God began to do the work. Check out verse 11. Like I said, God was sending a message of hope and restoration to the Israelites that were in slavery again. But he's saying, I'm not done with you. You might feel dry, like a dry bones. I want to bring you back home. I'm going to bring you back and restore you and revive you if that's what you need right now. I have not forgotten you. I mean, he always promised, I never leave you nor forsake you. And even when though you might feel like you're going through the valley of shadow of death, like David said, David even said, and there you are with me. I mean, even though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, there you are with me. I mean, even though it might hurt, you know, morning comes, you know, at night, then later on, you know, joy was going to come in the morning. The songwriter says. Now it says, then he said to me, son of man, these bones, this is what this vision means. These bones are the whole house of Israel. They say, this is what they were saying. This is what the Israelites were saying. Our bones are dried up, and our hope is gone. We are cut off. Israelite, Palestine, Judea is our land, and we're not even living there. We're cut off. God doesn't care about us anymore. We're like dry bones. And that's why God's showing the prophet a valley of dry bones, because the Israelites themselves being talking about it. So you feel like that, Israelites? Guess what the sovereign Lord can do for you right now? So the dry bones represent the whole nation of Israel. And Israel was saying that. God quoting Israel saying, our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. And God sending a message through Ezekiel is, I'm not done with you. You feel helpless, hopeless? I can bring revival into your life right now. I can recharge you. That's what you need. Because there's really nothing impossible with Yahweh, with the Lord. And look what it says. Therefore prophesy and say to them, verse 12, this is what the Sovereign Lord says, O people, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from them, and I will bring you back to the land of Israel. I'm going to bring you back. Yes, you're in slavery. You're living in a foreign country. I'm going to bring you back to your land eventually. That's happening. And then he said, and I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you will be my people, and you will know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from them. And I will put my spirit in you, and you will live. And I will settle you in your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken, and I have done, and I have done it, declares the Lord. Then you're going to get to know that it happened because I said it. God is the God that he says what he means, and he means what he says. So he's telling Ezekiel, it's going to happen. Tell my people, I'm going to bring you back. I'm going to restore you back to where you were. Yes, you feel helpless, hopeless now. Salvation, restoration is on its way. Now you see, even though the restoration of Israel was gradual, because sometimes we might go through struggles and to come back to the restoration might be gradual. We don't like that. We want to see the things right there. And you know, sometimes I always say, you know, we want the microwavable type of God, like, you know, the soda machine God, that you put something comes out right away. And God sometimes like a slow pressure cooker. You know, he's just cooking slowly, but at the end you get to enjoy that meal if you don't give up. God's restoration for his people, like I said, might be gradual, but it's imminent. It's going to happen. Also, according to what he says right here, it wasn't just a physical restoration. It was also spiritual. God's saying now, I'm going to put my spirit in you. And he's looking forward to the time of Jesus when Jesus talks about the Spirit in John. He said, the Spirit's going to be in you. You see, the Holy Spirit did not live in people in the Old Testament. He will come upon people. Remember Samson? Samson, the Holy Spirit will come on him, and then he had strength that nobody else could. And said, so the Holy Spirit will come on somebody, and then they did something. Ezekiel here says, the Spirit came upon me and took me to a valley of dry bones. God is saying to them, I want to restore you physically, but also spiritually. I want to put my spirit in you. It's going to live in you now. Remember, he's looking forward to the time of the Old Testament. Jesus said, he's going to live in you, the Holy Spirit. That power that resurrected Jesus from the grave, now it's going to, you and I can have access to it. It's going to be in you. It's like, wow. So something is happening. You know, I'm going to restore you, not just physically, but also spiritually. Ezekiel 24 and 28 says, if you go with me again, 36, Ezekiel 36, 24, for I will take you out of the nations, and I will gather you from all the countries and bring you back into your own land. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all the impurities and from all your idols. I will give you, check this out, I will give you a new heart and a new spirit in you, and I will remove from you the heart of stone. That's why you don't even obey me, because your heart is so hardened. I'm going to change that heart for, instead of stone, it's going to be a heart of flesh, so you can feel me more, so you can really obey me. So I'm going to change your heart for one of flesh, he says. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. God declared that when he fulfilled all these things that he's promising to the nation of Israel, at the end of the day, they're going to have a better picture of who God is. And then you will know that I am the Lord. I challenge any of you to do a research on that phrase, and then you will know that I'm the Lord. I guarantee you it's going to happen more than 20 times. Just in the book of Ezekiel. To me, when you read the book of Ezekiel, it's almost like that's the theme. And you will know that I'm the Lord. If I bring blessing, you will know that I'm the Lord. If I punish you, then you will know that I'm the Lord. It's almost like God, for whatever reason, the people have forgotten that who this God was. They have forgotten that he brought us out of Egypt and gave us this land, but we misbehaved and he took us back to captive to a different other, to another land. He's our God. They have forgotten about it. And Jesus and God said, at the end of the day, when I do what I'm saying that I'm about to do, you will know that I am Yahweh. I am who I am. Remember that? Then you're going to get to know, because apparently you don't really quite get who I am yet. But when I do it, when I resurrect you, when I transform your dry bones into flesh, then you're going to get it. When I get you out of that pit, then you're going to realize God got me out. When I get you out of the financial situation where you've been going through and you've been praying, then you're going to get to know who I am. When I fix your marriage because you cannot do it, you've been investing all the resources, you have no idea how you're going to fix it, then you're going to know who God is. But sometimes we have to go through the valley and we feel hopeless, but it's when that hope comes in, when God just injects this refreshed spirit in us, that we realize, man, you've always been there. I just didn't see you. Ezekiel, tell my people this, after I brought you back to the land, after I have brought you back and I'm going to get a new spirit in you, you're going to know that I am the Lord. Do you know who the Lord is? Whatever situation or problems you might be going through, he's telling you, you need to know who he is. Whatever God does, he always wanted his people to get to know a better glimpse of who he is. Israel's survivor, Israel's coming back to the land, depended on God's power and not upon the circumstances. Sometimes we think that, it's our circumstances. And there's a time in our life that we become helpless because it's beyond our control. And we have to remember, God is in control. He's the sovereign. He's in charge. And I'm just going to hang on. I'm just going to wait on you, like the psalm says, like, be still and know. There's the know again. Be still and know that I am the Lord. For some of us, it's not hard to be still in New York City area. We always want to be doing something. And God said, just be still right now. Just hear me out. They needed to hear the word of the Lord through the prophet Ezekiel. You know why I say they needed to? Because there were some people that were slaves and they did not want to hear Ezekiel and they stayed in Babylon. Not all the Israelites came back because not all of them heard the word of the Lord. And those ones that did not come back, they never got a new spirit put in them. They never got to restore the land. There were some that they were happy in Babylon and they stayed there. And that's why later on you hear in the Bible the word remnant. Just a small portion of them decided to come back to the land. And those are the ones that God said, I'm going to put a new spirit in you. And you're going to come to life. God said, I am the one who can restore you. I am the one who can revive you. I am the Lord who can transform your situation. I created beauty out of nothing. I mean, we serve a God that he can create a beautiful masterpiece out of chaos. But sometimes we just don't believe him. And it's like, if we truly believe that he's that sovereign, he's that great, whatever problem you're going through right now, he can fix it. He can fix it. And if he hasn't fixed it yet, maybe there's still something you got to learn through that problem, through that valley of bones, and gradually he's going to come and show you. But he has the power to do that. I mean, hello, God created a whole universe out of nothing, all because he said, let there be light. Because the power is in God's word. The power is not even in your prayer. Oh, really? Did the preacher say that? Prayer is not powerful. The one to whom you pray is. Because, there's a lot of people they pray, and they might be praying to another God. So don't tell me that, the power of prayer, these books are the power of a praying husband. I'm hoping the husband is praying to Yahweh. Seriously, I've read the book, The Power of a Praying Church. I'm hoping the church is praying to the right God, because if you're praying to the wrong God, you ain't got power. Seriously, it's like, you say pray. Like, I had a lady told me, no, it doesn't matter what song you're praying. I'm thinking, well, who are you praying to? Are you praying to Allah or Muhammad? I mean, the power is in this God that we're talking about. Yahweh says, I am the sovereign Lord. So, he has the power. Prayer is just for us to access that power, to turn the switch on. But we got to be praying to the right God. And that's what it says, you got to get to know me. Then you're going to know who I am, he says. I will restore you. God said to his people, like the title of the sermon was, is restoration even possible? Then the answer that you and I got to say, yes, it is. With Yahweh, with God, it is possible. So restoration and revival is always possible. You know, sometimes we think that for us to have revival, we have to go to the Metro Christian Convention or to other things. Revival can happen anytime, the moment you start hearing God's word. When he said, hear what I have to say to you. Revival can happen right now. You don't have to wait to go to an event for you to be revived or restored. Revival can happen right there. And sometimes a lot of people, revival happens when they are on their knees and looking into the Word of God, and then they just get a fresh look at God. It's like, wow, you know, he's putting flesh and tendons into me. I was dry, but now he's filling my cup. Now, you've been feeling dead spiritually. You have been going through a tough situation. I mean, I don't know, but God does know it. You've probably been feeling like the Israelites, hopeless, cut off. There's no joy and salvation with you anymore. God's message to you is, I can change that. And it's not like Home Depot says, you can do it, I can help. God says, I can transform that. I can change that right now, but you got to hear my word. Listen to what I'm telling you. You remember the Bible talks about faith comes from hearing. I mean, but think about it. If it comes from hearing, what happens when I stop hearing? Your faith will also go down. So it's like, he says, you got to hear what I'm saying. You got to trust me. Trust me in that. I'm the sovereign God. I got you. And you know how I know that God's not done with you yet? Because you're still here. And if you're still here, he still has a plan. Amen. Even though you might feel like you're dry bones and like, you know, hopeless. Without money, you know, everybody's abandoning you, leaving you. The songwriters say, even my mother and father will leave me, the Lord will take me back. And just like he has that faith. And it's like, God's not done with you because you are here. You're still alive and kicking. He says, I still have a plan. If God was done with you, you'd be a spirit. You'd be gone out of this earth already. So every time, even though you go through the valley of shadow of death, even though you're going through a hard times and you're still living, you get up in the morning, it's like, oh, I'm alive. I can go into the bathroom and brush my teeth now. God's not done with you. You're still here. He has a plan. And perhaps all he's saying to you, yeah, you feel like dry bones, but I'm going to restore you right now. I just want to go back to that question. When he said to Ezekiel, son of man, can these bones live? Is restoration even possible, Ezekiel? And he said, oh Lord, sovereign Lord, only you know. You know what God wants? If God came today and asked you, to you, can I fix your mess? Is your mess even fixable? Is your marriage, can I even fix your marriage? Oh man, you really have a tough financial situation. Is that even possible to fix? Now, he were to ask you that, would you say like Ezekiel, oh Lord, only you know? You know what God really wants you to say? Yes, Lord, you can do it because you are God. Yes, Lord, you can do it because you are able. Even, I don't know how you're going to do it. I don't know where you're going to get the money for this thing that I want to do, but you're able, and I'm trusting you. That's the answer God wants from us. Can Ezekiel, can these bones live? Oh, Lord, only you know. Ezekiel, you should know too, man. You and I should know that if we really know this God, that's what he's saying, then you will know that I am the Lord. That's what he wants, that you get to know that whatever situation we go through in this life, it's fixable because he can do it and he's able. And I just want to conclude with a song, with a text in Ephesians, so that we always remember the power that God has. And I'm going to invite the little surprise that I have for you is I believe it's RJ, DJ, and Ryan. They have a song that's going to go right with this. That's going to be the closing song for us this morning as well. Go with the text that we talked about. In Ephesians 3, 20 and 21, Paul says, now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think. Now think about, we should memorize that verse. Whenever we go through trials, now to him that can do far more abundantly than we can ever ask or imagine or think, he's able. He said, to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, because now we have the Spirit, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.
Restoration is always possible. Revival is always possible with God. Don't count him out yet.